Hello, family. My name is Ralph. I'm definitely an addict. Before I share anything, I want to thank this convention body for asking me to come down here and share my strength, my hope, and my experiences on sponsorship. And truly, before I even share, I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity and giving me another day clean. They asked me to share in sponsorship, and I thought that was such a hard topic, because if you've been in this process long enough, giving becomes like a natural thing. Just being able to help people and give, it becomes natural. So you don't think about it. You don't concentrate on it. So when they asked me to speak on sponsorship, I went to my sponsor and I said, listen, I have to share in sponsorship. He said, what's the problem? I said, he said, you sponsor about 17 people. You should be able to talk about it. I said, yeah, but I guide these people and I try to help them through different situations. And I try to work the steps with them. But talking about it or concentrating on what I do, that's not what I do. I'm just going to share, I guess, my strength, hope, and experiences on what attracted to me to my sponsor and what I think sponsorship consists of. Before I even talk about sponsorship, I just like you to know I understood when I came in this process that sponsorship is the heartbeat of this program. See, there's two things that you can learn in this process. You can learn what to do and what not to do. And that's why sponsorship is kind of so prevalent and so important. But listen, when I first got my sponsor, I got a sponsor for all the wrong reasons. I remember my sponsor said, look at this pamphlet, read it. Then, after I read it, decide if I wanted to be my sponsor. So I never read it. I thought I was always intelligent and I knew what sponsorship was all about. But my sponsor taught me real fast that he's no money lender. He's no relationship problem solver. Okay? He's not even my friend. He told me the only thing that he was responsible and committed to do was to guide me to the 12th and 12th. 12 steps and 12 traditions. And if we can do that successfully, that's where our relationship lies. And he said, listen, he said he's not going to deny that we can't go to the movies. He's not going to deny that he'll never loan me money. But he said all that stuff are fringe benefits. And if our relationship grows enough, we can have those fringe benefits. So that's what attracted me to my sponsor. You know, I saw my sponsor go through a lot of situations. And every time he went through life on life's terms, he looked for a spiritual solution. I mean, he utilized the rooms, he utilized people, he got with people, and he wanted to find out how to get through a situation without causing anybody else harm. So, you know, a lot of times we go through things, and we want to look for a solution, but the solution we seek may cause somebody else harm. So what my sponsor does, he tried to adhere to the spiritual principles and go through stuff and get out of it clean and get out of it without hurting anybody. And, you know, it was kind of important. And that was the attraction for me. And that's why I got him as a sponsor, because he had something I want. I'm not talking about the material things, the clothes and all that. Yeah, he has that. But he had something I want that was spiritually centered. He had a conditioning that didn't allow him to go to a certain degree. And I was so attracted to that kind of stuff. And I remember when I got him to sponsor me, I remember when I got my first sponsee, okay? And a lot of times, we don't think we're sponsor material. I didn't. From the area I came, what did I have to give somebody? What could I give them? And I remember I got my first sponsee, and I was so nervous about it because I didn't understand. Long as I do the best I can do, whatever happens to him, it's out of my hands. I need to practice the first step. If he go out and use, I'm powerless. If I did the best I can possibly do, it's not on me. See, but I guess when you first start sponsoring people, I wasn't there. So I remember when I first started sponsoring a person, the first thing we did, we start doing the suggested readings, okay? And that was so important to me because, see, I learned in this process, I don't give advice. I've been here 11 years and I still don't give advice, okay? I mean, if you have a problem, let's take it to the book, all right? If you got a certain, if I'm not familiar with certain things or certain areas, I'll try to direct you to somebody that can probably help you. I won't hurt you. I don't give, you know, I got sponsees, I guess, one of them. Every time I go through a situation, I don't go to him because he got all the answers. And one day, I didn't get upset, but one day I turned to him, I said, you know, it's amazing you got all these answers. And you got all the solutions to my problems, but you don't have none for your own. And I said, if you take all that energy you waste on trying to help me and help yourself, you'll probably be a better person. And that simplified it. And I wasn't getting on him. I was just letting him know where he needed to keep the focus. Because I told him, just like he has a sponsor, I have a sponsor too. And when I need stuff, I've been around this fellowship long enough to know where I got to get my help from. And I let him know that my job was to guide you and help you through your dilemmas. Don't take on extra baggage trying to help me. You just stay in the realm of trying to get better. And one day, through this fellowship, maybe one day you'll really be able to help me. You know what I mean? So, getting back to what I was saying about this sponsorship stuff. Listen, I guess when I started sponsoring people, the first thing I had to do was start working some steps. Because, of course, it even talks about that in the 12th step. It talks about having had a spiritual awakening. Sponsorship is so important because it talks about the only way we can keep what we have is by giving it away. And if you don't have nothing, there's nothing you can give. So listen, I mean, I always consider sponsorship a two-way thing. I think to be a sponsor, you have to do the work. You just can't sit back and stay on the first step for 2 years and expect to guide somebody. You have to do the work. Because a lot of times, you know, you get a sponsor and they come in there with all this energy. And they need answers. They need information. They need something to help them to get through another day. And as a sponsor, I think once you take on that commitment, it's your job to try to seek some of that information. It's your job to do the work to give them that information. And that's why I think sponsorship, like I said, is like the heartbeat of the program. And getting back to like the 12th step, I'm talking about giving back some of the stuff that was so freely given to me. And you know something? When I get with my sponsors, we don't talk about religion. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about what girls we like to Zoom. I let them know that early. See, listen. I guess if they want a friend, I don't know, maybe they need to look somewhere else. You know, because I love them dearly. Trust me, I go to conventions with my sponsees. We hang out together. They support me in everything I do. We do things together. I mean, we've been exposed to so many things. And like I say, it's a wonderful thing. It's something that I cherish. But like I said, there's certain guidelines. I guess certain examples that, you know, we follow by example. And there's certain things that I guess when we're together that we don't do. Like I don't sit around and talk to them about lust. If we want to talk, it's problem versus solution. If you have a problem, let's get to the solution. I don't sit around and talk about who you like to Zoom. We don't sit and gossip about who's zooming who. I don't get into all that stuff. life is too short. You know, I'm a single parent, right? I'm raising a daughter. I had her since she was 5 years old. She's 13 now. She's starting to think about boys. I don't have time to worry about who's zooming who. Who did this? Who did that? Because none of that stuff is going to put bread on my table. None of that stuff is going to pay my rent. None of that stuff is going to keep me clean. So it's years ago, I didn't have a life. So all that stuff was very interesting. Who was zooming who? Who was backdooring who? Who talked clean and lived dirty? You know what I mean? Shared a good message. Then go home and beat up the wife and kick the dog and all that stuff. That stuff used to be interesting to me. But it's not part of my life anymore. I'm centered on trying to stay clean, just trying to be a better person. And like I say, we lead by example. You know, I haven't used profanity in about 5 years. Hold it. Let me go back. I remember I used it one time. I broke that about a year ago. But if you exclude that one time, I haven't used profanity in 5 years. This one time, this girl was, you know, saying a lot of things. And she didn't know I could come down to her level. So I did. And it wasn't that rewarding. It didn't feel good. But I did it anyway. And I'm not saying it accomplished anything, but I did it anyway. But like I said, what I try to do, this is for me. And this is why I got this program. I don't use profanity. Because my sponsor taught me that's a lack of vocabulary. If you're applying for a job, a lot of the stuff that you talk, can you use on an interview? Huh? Can you tell your boss, yeah, I can pull that mother effing thing. You can't do that. So what I had to learn how to put adequate words with what I was trying to say. And I learned from example, like if I told a person, get the F out of my face, or if I just told you, get out of my face, either way, you know if you don't move, something's going to happen. So I choose not to use the profanity. And that's just for me. I'm not telling anybody to stop. I'm just saying, to affect my spiritual conditioning, it helped me. Because I know I'm one of them jokers, once I turn my hat sideways or turn it backwards and all that old stuff, or I start leaning, I think I'm back in the 60s. All right? Okay? And you know, I remember an incident a long time ago, and it brings me back. And I'm going to get off sponsorship. I'm going to come right back, okay? I remember an incident that happened a long time ago. And I think I had about 8 years, and I thought I arrived. You know, because you sponsor a lot of people. You do this, you do that, and you're doing a lot of stuff, and you're sharing here, you're doing this, you're doing that. I'm on the board of trustees for the Greater North Convention. A lot of stuff. They asked me to join. So you think you arrived, right? And I remember I stopped making meetings because something had to go. So meetings went. And I'll never forget how, without even knowing, I start reverting back to my old ideas, my old attitudes, and my old behaviors. And I start going backwards. And I remember I was coming home from work and I was angry. And a guy cut me off. He was in a truck. And I drive a tractor and trailer for a living, but I was coming home in my car, and he cut me off. I'll never forget. And I'm going to talk about how this disease is so progressive. And I'm going to get back to sponsorship right after I tell you this story. But you know what happened? This guy cut me off, and I never forget. I said, you son of a this, you this and that, you so-and-so, you this and that. Look, he was in a truck, and he looked like this little short guy because his head just barely came above the window. I said, pull over. Pull that truck over. I'm going to teach you. Pull it over, I said. Pull it over. And so the guy pulled the truck over. Get out the truck. But the one thing I didn't know, and see, this disease is smarter than me because the seat was real low. And he wasn't a short guy. He was about 6'3". He had on a tank top, one of them tight tank tops, and he looked like he lifted weights religiously. You know what I mean? And this joker got out this truck, and I looked, I said, "Oh, Ralph, you done got yourself into something now." And I never forget, when he got out the truck, he jumped down. And listen, when he got down, I thought he was 6'3". The clothes he got, he must have been about 6'5". I don't know. But he was big. And you saw the muscles flexing. And just as he started walking towards me, it started getting real. Listen, you know when you're having a bad day, when the sun's out, and this joker start walking towards me, it start getting real cloudy. I said, "Boy, you in for an ass whooping. Boy, they're giving you a sign." You know what I mean? So he started walking towards me, and listen, when he got real close, I started getting scared, because I said, "Ralph, you haven't fought in almost 7 years. What are you going to do? I mean, you done did what you wanted to do. You told him get out. You told him come here. You don't want to go any further. So what are you going to do?" And first thing I said, "God, one more time, I'm in a dilemma. And I kind of put myself in this position. But please, can you kind of get me out of this one?" And when the joker came towards me, I stood in front of him. I said, "Look, man, you can come close. I'm not going to hit you." I still had to play the tough guy role, right? This joker could have ate me for breakfast, and I'm not going to hit him, right? So the joker said, "Listen, let me tell you something, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off, but your attitude was very inappropriate, right? And now I saw her out. You know what I mean? I said, look, we don't have to go through this thing that I see in the sky. All I thought about, that the next day I'd have to make a meeting and tell everybody how this guy kicked my ass all the way to the hospital and back out. You know what I mean? How this guy done stomped me half to death. I thought I'd have to go to a meeting and share about how I caused my own dilemma. But through God's intimate grace and mercy, the guy gave me an out. He said, look, I know I cut you off. I didn't mean it. I said, listen, brother, my attitude wasn't appropriate. And I said, listen, it's just that I got off from work and I wasn't feeling good. And I'm sorry I even confronted you." So we talked and we started laughing and joking. And we had things in common and this and that. And listen, right then and there, I shared that when I came to the meeting the next day. I'm not talking about the next week, the next day. Because I really thought I was in. You know, we put ourselves in such positions because God has gave us this spiritual program. He gave us this thing that can make us better a day at a time. And what happened, I went away from it. And I'm glad I didn't go too far. I'm glad I didn't do like that 10-step talks about. Back myself into a corner where the only way I can come out clean is by using. I'm glad I didn't do that. But God gave me a spiritual awakening. And what happened, I came to the meeting the next day and I shared about it. And I understood, and this is all is a direct thing of sponsorship. I understood the importance not only of my sponsors making meetings. I understood the importance of me making meetings. Okay? I learned if you're going to be a good teacher, first of all, you have to be a good listener. And you have to be a good learner. You can't give direction if you can't take direction. See? And we're talking about humility and the simplicity of this program called Narcotics Anonymous. We're talking about when we come up here and share, we share our strengths. You understand that? Our strengths. Our hopes. And our experiences in recovery. And a grateful addict, we share the NA way. Not my way, not Ralph's way, the NA way. And what we talk about recovery. We talk about getting better a day at a time. We talk about living that dream of living life on life's terms. We talk about having had enough courage, having enough peace to raise our families, to be with our children, to do the simple things in life. We talk about being consistent at a job, a day at a time. You know, I have a job, and I don't love my job, okay? But, you know, through the steps and through having the application of the program, I learned to go to my job and work it one day at a time. I don't worry about the whole week. Every day I just worry about getting through that one day. And it's working. Because you work me hard one day, I say, okay, you're working me to death. After a while, I'll be going home. And like I said, we'll start again tomorrow. And tomorrow, it may not be so bad. See, so I learned how to apply the simple things of this program to my job. And that's through sponsorship. I mean, when I first told my sponsor, I said, look, I'm quitting this job, man. I got to get out of here. He said, well, if you quit the job, who's going to take care of your daughter? You know, she likes nice things, doesn't she? I said, yeah. He said, well, how are you going to still provide for her? What are you going to do? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, you like nice things. You like going places. What are you going to do? I don't know. He said, aren't you fully self-supporting? I said, yeah. He said, well, how are you going to quit a job without having another job in place? I said, I don't know. See, so I understand the importance of sponsorship. I understand the importance of guidance. After you get a multiple years, you think you don't need a sponsor, but you still need somebody to dot the I's and cross the T's. You still need that. You still need something, you know something? I talk about how this disease robs you physically, mentally, and spiritually. And you talk about how the physical part comes right back. You're talking about after using for 22 and a half years, the mental part never comes back. So what I learned to rely on, I guess, is a spiritual maintenance. And that's talking to other recovering people and learning how to get in the suggestions of the program and learning what to do. You know, this program is so awesome. And like I say, I learned through sponsorship, man. We have so many tools in this program if we only utilize them. I learned my best thinking almost killed me. So what I learned to do, I learned to rely on other people. I learned that a lot of people in this fellowship has been through experiences I've probably never been through. So rather than bump my head, I rely on them. I remember somebody asked me a long time ago, they said, Ralph, how do you sponsor people? I said, easy. I said, you know, you got a sponsee, and he's riding down a dead-end street at 100 miles an hour. My job is to stop him and say, listen, maybe you need to slow down. I could think there's a brick wall down there. And you know, when we're new in this fellowship, we don't believe that. We believe we can run through big walls. But my job is to slow him down to like 25 miles an hour. Because when he hit that brick wall, I mean, he'll get his pain, but the pain will kind of be lessened. And that's what sponsorship is about. It's all about guidance. So, man, I take like recovery serious on what I have to give people. If I'm not good in the area, I don't give anything. And listen, I still don't talk about relationships to my sponsors. And we laugh about it so much. If you have a relationship crisis, I suggest that you seek outside help. Or you find a recovering addict or a couple that's morbidly happy and find out how to be a couple. Don't come to me. I remember when I first came to this fellowship, and I hope these women don't get offended. Please don't get offended. But I remember when I first came to this fellowship, I had about a couple of years clean, and I had some sponsors, and they come to me and say, sponsor. My woman's giving me a lot of problems. She's giving me this, she's giving me that. We're going through that. And they come to me with these problems, right? And I said, come here. So your woman's giving you problems? I said, I told you I'm not good in that area. This is sponsor, you gotta help me. I said, okay, I'm gonna help you. Come here. I said, listen, if your woman's giving you problems, I said, take her on a trip. Yeah, take her on a trip. Take her on a plane ride. As soon as you get over the middle of the ocean, push her off the plane. I said, and she can swim back to land, keep her because she got a good woman. And they look at me and say, Spons, I think I'll go to somebody else. So my sponsors still don't bother me about relationships. Because like I said, we're talking about different relationships. We're talking about I built a relationship with myself. I built a relationship with my God. A relationship with another female, I'm not there yet. I'm not that open. Because see, once you get in my heart, you're in. And if you decide to cause damage, you're in. Okay? And I'm one of them consistent people, and I believe in commitment. I believe if I allow you to in, I'll be committed. I'll accept you for who you are, the bad, the good, the indifferent. So like I said, since I know I'm sensitive in that area, I kind of protect it. So it's kind of hard to get in. You know, it's real hard. And plus, like I said, I'm a single parent. And I think that was one of God's many gifts to place a daughter in my life. And for me to have enough tools, to gain enough tools to be able to raise her properly. You know, because they talk about in recovery, it takes money to build the house. But they talk about this, it takes love to make a home. And those are some of the tools that I acquired through this program called Narcotics Anonymous. I learned how to hug people in this program. I learned how to empathize with people. I learned how to listen to people. I learned how to be patient with people. I learned how to help people when I can. And those are some of the tools that I took home. So, like I said, by me being able to apply some of those tools and grow in this fellowship, I'm just blessed. Like I say, sponsorship. I mean, all my sponsors, I develop a certain relationship. And you know something? Let me tell you something about sponsoring people. And I never talk about this, that it's so important. You develop a real open personality because you say, I sponsor 17 people. Right? I don't sponsor any of them the same way. I can't. Because all of them have different personalities. And it's my job to adjust to their personalities. It's not me to be sitting there like a stone talking about you're going to do it my way. It's my job to get through them. To give them the same energy as somebody gave me. To make them want this recovery thing like I do. And with one sponsor, I may be able to say, look, I may have to do a fifth step and get to the exact nature. Can't play games with him, because once you open the door for games, it's all games. So you get to the exact nature. Another one, you may have to beat around the bush. You may have to sugarcoat it, this and that. Another one, I may have to tell jokes to get them just to open up to what we need to do. You see, so sponsorship, by me sponsoring people, it helped develop me into a person that I can talk to multiple peoples in different ways and get something across. So it kind of helped me. So I love this fellowship and I love the things I do and I know my time's up. So listen, I hope I said something to help somebody. And listen, when you get a sponsor, get somebody that's morbidly happy. Don't look at how they dress or what they drive. You know, look for somebody that's always in the solution, not in the problems. If I had to get somebody that I saw walking around mad all the time, I was mad when I was using. I don't need that. Not in recovery. So if you're going to look for sponsors, try to look for somebody that's working the 12 steps, that has a working knowledge of the 12 steps. Not working the 12 steps, but has a working knowledge of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And that make meetings. I can't understand people getting a sponsor, and I'm stepping on toes, but I would never get a sponsor who's not actively involved in his recovery. How are you going to give me something that you're not getting? Once you stop the process, what can you give me? See, so you have to be making meetings. And I think those are the criteria that I look for sponsorship. Like I said, I'm going to end it with a food for thought, okay? It's a nice Sunday. And I'm going to end it with this. If by chance you meet me, it's just a food for thought. If by chance you meet me and you forget me, you lose nothing. But if by chance you meet God and you forget him, you'll probably lose everything. Thanks for letting me hear that a little bit.
Thanks, Ralph.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Harold, and I'm an addict. Good morning, everyone. I was quite surprised that the people that run this type of thing asked me to share. The day that I had what I hope was my last drug was on September the 13th, 1985. Now, even though that may be true, in fact, it is true, I still am not sure if I, in fact, have much to offer. I don't have any illusions that I can get anybody clean, nor do I think I can make you use, nor do I plan to stand here and tell you what to do. The thing of it all is that in me being a sponsor, I've learned to be a sponsee. I've learned things that work for me, and I just pass them on. This whole process, it took basically 4 years before I finally got a year clean. And the way it happened was I couldn't have planned it that way. I could not have planned it. It just worked the way that it worked. There at the building that I lived was a lady whose sexual preferences was the same as mine. If you get my drift. And she was the one that did the first 12-step work on me. For some reason or other, she noticed that I was coming down the hallways, bumping into the walls, and I was hanging around the liquor stores and in the alleys and places like that, and she would come and get me and say, come on, Harold, let's go to a meeting, and I did do that. So she was the one that first introduced me to the 12 steps of recovery. She suggested I get a sponsor, and of course, I really didn't want no part of that. She allowed me to get the person that I choose to ask to be my sponsor, and I got clean in an area in Silver Spring, Maryland, and there was a guy in the meeting who wore bib overalls most of the time, and he hadn't had a haircut since hell knows when, and I don't know if he ever had combed his hair or not. He was a big guy, and he's from the country. He's a white guy, and obviously I'm black. So my mind was saying to me, well, this would be the last guy that would want to sponsor me. Much to my surprise, he smiled, gave me a big bear hug, and said, come on. I was like, damn, you know. So that took away that first excuse that I had, you know. Well, what happened? In terms of, now, I'm supposed to be talking about how to be a sponsor, but remember, that's not something I read in a book. This is my experience as to how it's done, basically. He had told me things like, if I felt like I wanted to use, I should call him first. And this is one night about, 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I was ready to go downtown and get high. Man, I just couldn't handle it no more. And I decided to call him. For some reason, I called him, and he came to me. About 10 minutes he was there. And he put me in this pickup truck that he had, and we rode around and we drank coffee. And he said little things to me like, no matter what, it'll pass. It will pass. And he was right. It did pass. I went home and I didn't use that night. But what I found out later on, which he didn't tell me that, he had gotten married about a week before that. So he was a newlywed, and he was in bed with his wife. But he would get out of his bed to ride me around. That just blew my mind, you know. So I learned unconditional love through him, you see. So, again, a lot of things I learned is not because I read it, it's because this is what has happened for me. The part of sponsorship is important because what happened was that later on, he talked about the steps, but I met this guy at a club down on 5th and K Street. And this guy was part of this club. We talked about the steps an awful lot. And he kept saying things to me like, read the third step, read the third step. And I'm like, man, did you hear me? I told you I had a problem. And he said, well, read the third step. And I'd come back later, about a week later, and I'd tell him the same thing, or maybe 2 weeks later, he'd tell me the same thing. Didn't I tell you? Read the third step. And I was like, I don't understand this guy. He's not hearing my problem. Well, the truth of the matter is, he was giving me the solution. That's what the deal was. I just didn't quite understand that at that time. My answers basically are in the steps or in the traditions. one of the 24 principles. But again, I didn't realize what was happening until after the fact, you see. So I began to read the steps as he was talking about it, and eventually we got around to the four steps. By the way, by that time, he had became my sponsor, because the sponsor that I had originally had stopped coming to meetings in the area that I was going to. So because he didn't go to meetings, I moved on to the next person. Anyway, he started talking about the steps the sponsor had at that time. We started talking about the steps, and we started, quote unquote, working the steps. And we started working the steps, and then we got into the fourth step, and we started talking about or writing about causes and conditions, the things that I use for. And I come to find that my disease began very, very, very early in my childhood. There's an old saying that all the things I need to learn, I learned in by the time I reached kindergarten, I already knew. But somewhere along the line, I forgot it, or I just didn't do it anymore. You know, like hold hands, wash your hands before you eat, take a nap, be kind to one another. Those type of things have long been gone. I learned that if I lied, I didn't have as much consequences to pay. So I learned to lie, you see. So, but I knew early on that there was another way to do that. Sponsorship has become important in other ways too, because what had happened is, again, it gives me a way to live. I can't very well suggest to sponsors to do certain things that I don't do. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is I am not all that anxious to be up here sharing my experience, strength, and hope with the group on sponsorship. How in the world can I expect other men to get up here or whatever I ask them to do to share if I don't do it myself? So I do things. It doesn't matter how I feel. I do it anyway. I do it anyway, and that's important. One of the most important things is service work. Service work. I'm an advocate of service work, and it's because basically I'm not a heck of a talking type of a guy. I just as soon do it. I can pretty much get my message across in just a few sentences. If it just doesn't take all that long, it just doesn't. Either you are or you're not. In terms of sponsorship, I guess everybody has their own way of doing it. And a lot that's been said before I stood here is true. Each person is an individual. Now, there may be one guy I might ask him, like, do you want to do it or not? Because if you don't waste my time. Move on to somebody else. I can be a little more abrupt and to the point. Other guys have to be kind of encouraged to do certain things. Other guys, they got to kind of see somebody else do it before they do it. But sponsorship is important. In the beginning, it's like being a coffee maker, for an example. That's one of the first things they'll ask you to do, or that you can do, is to be a coffee maker. It doesn't take a whole lot to do that, but it gets you involved. And so I encourage people that are early in their recovery to get involved. It's most important. This recovery, this journey, basically has become a way of life. It's not my life, but it's a way of life. And my experience is not much different than most people, as a matter of fact. The gentleman that shared before me talked about a situation that didn't have to do with sponsorship, but it had to do with, once again, life's experiences. And one that I have shared on several occasions that on my job, he said he drives tractor trailers. I'm a pressman. That's what I do. I operate printing presses. And one of the guys I work with had gotten quite obnoxious. I couldn't stand that rascal. And we got into heated arguments on numerous occasions. And one time I had just gotten enough. It's like, it's now or never. So I picked up this pipe wrench and was going outside and go for it. But what happened on the job also was another guy that's in recovery. And he just kind of like looked at me and said, Harold, is that what you teach your sponsees? And I kind of like, I put the pipe down. And I went on back to work. And later on that following day, what I did when I came to work, I mean, the coffee pot's free. It was for all the employees. But I poured him a cup of coffee because I knew how he liked it. And I handed him a cup of coffee. I never said, I apologize for my behavior. I never said that. But what I did do, I gave him the cup of coffee. That was my way of saying, I apologize. One of the things that attracts me to the men that I've asked to be my sponsor is basically what's already said before me. I kind of like look at guys who seem to be at peace with themselves. Not so much as what they drive or the money they have or none of those things. Guys that seem to be at peace with themselves. They often talk about the recovery as being an inside job. And it really doesn't really matter to me what you drive or don't drive, how much money you got or don't got. That's just life. But it's the ability to live life on life's terms peacefully. That's what I look at. So whether you get BMW or whether you get a hoopty, doesn't make any difference. Recovery doesn't necessarily say you're going to have much of anything other than clean time, for real, you know. But if you work the steps, then most of the time you'll be at peace with yourself, most of the time. In the beginning, said that I didn't have a whole lot to say because I've never, that I can remember, been able to stand in front of a group and talk for a long period of time. That has never changed. The only thing I can continue to talk about so far is recovery and how to be a sponsor is I learned to be a sponsor by being a sponsee. That's most important. I learned through experiences. I have no illusions that I can keep anybody clean or that I can make anyone use. And the only thing that I can do is to share my experience, strength, and hope. Always being mindful that basically I'm powerless over people and they're gonna do what the hell they wanna do anyway. You see what I'm saying? And when the word sponsor and sponsee, when I address you as my sponsee, for whatever, the way I look at it is like this, this is a lifetime commitment. Obviously I do not, hopefully you will not use. But even if you do, does it mean I turn my back on you? Not by no means. We're going to see this thing all the way through. You know. I guess it's because I just wanted somebody when I was in active addiction to just stop kicking me around. Give me a chance. You know. So I guess when a guy asks me to be a sponsor, it is a commitment. Whether you use, whether you're broke, or whether you're not, I'm there, if you want me to be, you know. It's suggested that men sponsor men and women sponsor women for obvious reasons. That sponsoring a woman just does not work because I'm just not that. I have no idea what makes y'all take women, that is. I have no idea, so I leave that alone. Because I can change my focus too quick, too. So I just don't do that. I don't have a whole lot more to say, and what I'm going to do is sit down, and perhaps I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I imagine someone might want to share from the group. So we still got a lot of time left, so if you don't want to share, or maybe I should just do what I'm supposed to do, is turn it over to you. And thanks for listening.
We do still have quite a bit of time. Let's see, before we open up the meeting to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the microphone one at a time. Also, try to keep in mind that there are other addicts who are waiting to share. So if anybody would like to come up and share now, the mic is open. Or if no one wants to come up, we can just read the just for today. So whatever you guys want to do. Anybody want to share?
Hi everyone, I'm an addict called Jerome. You know, what was told to me and what I know about sponsorship, you know, my sponsor must have a sponsor, and that sponsor must have a working knowledge of the steps to carry me through. What was shared with me is when I picked a sponsor, I made sure he didn't have a lot of chaos and drama in his life. You know what I mean? It's a certain peace and a certain quality that a person can guide me through the steps that I need. A lot of people can come up here and sound real good and look real good, but how are you living? That's the basic thing. Is my sponsor incorporating all these principles and all his affairs is what I look for. And one of the things my sponsor does with us on a regular basis, he makes sure that we can come to him with anything. One time he had shared something he'd done that wasn't real spiritual, and he didn't sit all right with him. He brought all his sponsees together, and he shared that act. And that let me know that this person is really working with something. If he can share what he did, and that let me know that we can come to him and tell him anything. He's living this program. And I love him because He always lets me know there's no big I's and little U's in this program. And he tells me on a regular basis, don't put me on a pedestal because I'm a human and I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Good morning, group. My name is Christine. I am an addict.
Hi, Christine.
I am too homegrown from down Fifth and K, but I'm also homegrown from First and New York Avenue, and we used to hang at a McDonald's. And when I came in here, I wasn't program prepared, so I knew nothing about no sponsor. I just know I came right off 13th Street. Somebody said, go over there and ask that lady to sponsor you. And I thought that meant she was going to give me $5. But before I asked for the $5, I did say, can you sponsor me? She said, I got too many pigeons. I said, damn, I got to buy a bird. So she sent me over to this side of the room to somebody else. I went over there. I said, can you sponsor me? She said, well, I already got too many people now. She sent me to the back of the room. Now I'm like, you the last one I'm going to ask. She says to me, I need to watch you. I said to myself, I need to watch me too. And what I was doing was watching me walk out the door. And when the gentleman shared about women sponsoring women and men sponsoring men, that mic was all right then. But when I got here in 1990, the person that said to me, hey, put your little black monkey tail on back of here and sit down, man. I'm going to sponsor you until you... The same one that sent me to the women said, until you get a sponsor. Well, because when this person started sponsoring me, they introduced me to the steps for which was introducing me to self. I didn't find a need to move on. But 5 years later, some things started cropping up. And I didn't want to go to that man and talk to him about it because it was going to be about him that I was talking about anyway. So what I had to do was look around and find me a woman. And what happened, the woman that came in the door, she had a piece of serenity about herself. She crossed her legs like a lady. She wasn't cussing like a sail off of a boat, you know. And I said to myself, I don't care if she's a serial killer. That's who I want. And I went up to her and I asked her if she sponsored me. And she told me we'll sponsor each other. I said, do you have $5? She said, you got to get a job. And what happened? Now I sponsor women. I have a short-term access for bull. The literature tells us what to do, and I'm only going to guide you the rest of the way. And if you got your own program, don't even bother coming to me, you know, because I don't have my own program. I got the program that NA has given me, and that's the only format that I have to go by. And, you know, I go by the people that was here prior to me coming here. What they say worked for them, I figure like this, it'll work for me too. Thanks for letting me share.
Would anybody else like to come up and share on sponsorship or anything else? We've got 20 minutes.
I'm an addict. And I would have been much more comfortable sitting in my chair and sharing. But I'll follow the protocol. I've been hearing a lot of places that's been rattling memories in my mind since I've been at this convention, because I got clean in Baltimore. Well, actually, let me get honest. I got clean at Jessup Cut, but I used in Washington, D.C. And so when I hear those places, you know, the McDonald's on New York Avenue, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I have to say that I have really, over this last year, been going through some struggles with sponsorship, both with my own sponsor and with one of the women that I have been sponsoring. And that's why I came to this workshop. I guess let me talk about me first. I really love my sponsor. And there's been... so many situations that she has nurtured me through. She has been like a mother to me. She has given me love in times when I was in a fetal position, and in times when, you know, I didn't know how to accept love or how to ask for it. and she gave that to me without really expecting anything in return. But over the last couple of years, I have been noticing things about my sponsor that that I'm starting to wonder about. I was in a meeting, I don't know, had about 4 or 5 years clean, and there was this woman there, and she was, she had a very strong appearance, and she was very strong, and she shared that she got clean, and at that time it was probably, 15 years ago, and she shared, when I got clean, I stopped wearing high heel shoes, and I stopped giving head. And I said, that's the person I want to be my sponsor, because she was real. She didn't cover it up. She didn't hide it. She was out there with what things were used to be like. And as a result, in my own recovery, you know, I have been able to really talk about whatever it is that's going on with me. And I believe for me that that's what's kept me here. That's what's helped me to stay here and to stay clean. And I did that by following her example, by not covering shit up when it went on. Again, I never know when what is whispering in my ear and what is churning in my gut is my disease, whether it's my disease or whether it's my higher power telling me the truth. But I have been noticing some things that I've had difficulty with in the last couple of years about my sponsor. And one of the things is that she has a lot of anger, and she comes from the old school. And she has no problem in telling you to shut up, and she don't want to hear it. And you know, she's really straight up. And part of me really admires that about her. But I see sometimes that she can be pretty harsh with people, and so that's something that I don't take into my own sponsorship relationships with the sponsees that I have. I try to be straight up and tell them the truth, but I also try to be gentle and try to be nurturing to them. I guess what I'm saying is I take what I need and I leave the rest. And none of us are perfect, and I expect her to be this perfect person, and it just, none of us have the capacity to do that. And, you know, there's been times when some of the things that I notice, some of the boundaries that I see that she kind of breaches with other sponsee sisters that I have, that I've wondered about, maybe I need to get a new sponsor. We have different values. I'm very socially conscious because I used in the streets and the basements of Washington, D.C., you know, and I know that some people are born without bootstraps, and she is of the mindset that everybody just ought to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and so we really clash in that belief system. We really are really differ in that, and sometimes it's really hard for me because I want her approval. And so it's really hard for me to have my own opinions. The other piece that I've been struggling with is something that I don't hear people talk about a lot in recovery, and that is medication in recovery. And I know that that has been my experience, that I have, there was a time when I was clinically depressed, and I needed medication in recovery. And my sponsor comes from a school where, at first, she didn't believe you should take anything, and she's adjusted a little bit over the years and adjusted her opinion about that. I also work in a field where I see very clearly that we cannot afford to allow psychiatrists and doctors to influence our recovery because they will get us high. And I see that very clearly. They do not understand the disease of addiction. They are not trained in the disease of addiction. And I had a sponsee that come to me, and she had these mental health issues, which I feel like most of us have mental health issues when we get here. I know I sure as hell did. I had a whole damn bunch of them. You know, you could find me in the DSM from one end to the other. She also had a garbage bag full of pills she was taking 3 times a day. You know, and some of them had sedative side effects. And she looked high a lot. And because I am trained that people with mental illness need medications, I tried to work with her. Problem was, she could never stop using. And we went through like 3 years of this stuff. And so finally, I had to make a decision whether I was going to keep participating in this. And I had to say to her, I'm not comfortable with you taking 15 pills a day. I don't care what your mental illness is. You need to scale that shit down, and that's just for me. because you're not able to stay clean. And I struggle with that. You know, I really struggle with that because I know we're not doctors, and I know that I'm not a doctor. And no matter what training I've had, I have not been trained to be a doctor. But on the other hand, if you see somebody riding towards that brick wall and you see them bounce into it time and time and time again, you know, I was just in a dilemma about, you know, where my place was in that, and I guess I still feel, like, conflicted about it. All I know is I did the best that I could do, and, you know, you can't make anybody be willing to surrender or ready to do what they need to do to stay clean. And so what I had to do is I had to surrender, because what was happening is I was getting mad at her. At each relapse, I was getting a little more pissed off. And so I had to, like, let it go. And I guess I still struggle with that, and I still feel kind of guilty about it. I don't know. I just know that I'm real grateful to be clean, and I know that this process will work for anybody, and it'll work for me, and it'll work for other people that are here, and it'll work for her, you know, and I just have to give her over to God. And I have to get some tolerance in the area of my sponsor, because no matter who I get, they're going to have areas that they need to work on in their life. And sponsorship is not about the person being a clone of me. Just like relationships are not about the person. We're not supposed to have the same ideas and the same beliefs and the same values, you know. And so I'll talk that out. And I thank you for listening.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that'd like to share? We probably have 3 or 4 minutes.
All right.
Well, then let's just close it out.